I'm John Strum, and this is Real Talk MS. It's July 26th, and we have a lot to talk about. Imagine for a moment that using your smartphone, you log on to a Zoom call from home. You connect with your MS specialist, and while you're chatting, an artificial intelligence-based system is analyzing biometric measurements that will enable your doctor to deliver or fine-tune an MS treatment plan that's personalized to meet your exact needs. That's the vision driving Neuralite, a company that's first aiming to rewrite clinical trial design and accelerate new drug development. Using its proprietary deep learning algorithms, Neuralite is a potential game changer for billions of people living with MS, ALS, Alzheimer's disease, and Parkinson's disease all around the world. My guest today is the co-founder and CEO of Neuralite, Micha Breakstone. But before we get to my conversation with Micha, there are a few other things that you should know about. I know that a lot of you are interested in the impact of diet on MS, and while we haven't seen evidence that any one diet can be considered the quote-unquote MS diet, evidence does show that eating a healthy diet can make a positive difference. And the just-published results of a small pilot study at Johns Hopkins MS Center show that 8 weeks of intermittent fasting produced immune and metabolic changes among people who were living with MS. The study recruited 36 participants. Now, 12 participants were placed on a control diet, and they received 100% of their calorie needs every day. Another 12 participants were placed on a calorie-restricted diet, and they received 78% of their calorie needs daily. And 12 participants were placed on an intermittent calorie-restricted diet. Now, they received 100% of their calorie needs 5 days a week and 25% of their calorie needs 2 days a week. During the 8-week study, all the participants' meals were delivered to their homes, and of the 36 participants who started the study, 31 completed it. The results showed that both the traditional calorie-restricted diet and the intermittent fasting diet were safe weight loss methods, and both diets produced improvements in the participants' emotional well-being. The research team took blood samples from the study participants at the beginning of the study, at the 4-week mark, and at the end of the study. And an analysis of these blood samples showed that the study participants on the intermittent fasting diet showed significant changes in their T cells. And these cells play an important role in abnormal immune responses and the inflammation that drives MS. Participants in both the calorie-restricted diet and the intermittent fasting diet also showed changes in metabolites that play a role in the production, breakdown, or storage of fats in the body. The study participants on the intermittent fasting diet showed larger reductions in two metabolites that are associated with T cells and inflammation. Now, the research team acknowledged that this was both a small study and a short study, lasting only 8 weeks, while MS evolves over decades. So the takeaway here is that this is interesting work that needs to be expanded to determine whether calorie restriction may have long-term biological implications related to inflammation and neurodegeneration for people living with MS. And as this work continues, we'll keep you posted. If you'd like to review the details of this study, you'll find a link in today's show notes. More than half the people living with MS report significant disruptions in their sleep and difficulty maintaining a consistent sleep schedule. This often leads to an overall decline in their quality of life and their well-being. And sleep disruptions became magnified during the COVID-19 pandemic, when I think most of us were facing some level of difficulty getting a good night's sleep, whether we were living with MS or not. Now, the pandemic resulted in people with MS having less contact with their physicians, therapists, their support groups, and even their families. These are the social supports that make it easier to cope with almost any kind of challenging situation. And a research team at the University of Kansas wanted to explore how social support impacted sleep quality among people who were living with MS in the United States during the COVID-19 pandemic. The team gathered data from February through May 2021 by distributing anonymous surveys to people during their in-person and virtual appointments at the University of Kansas Medical Center's MS Clinic. The team collected 209 completed surveys, and a statistical analysis of the survey results indicated that overall feelings of being socially supported were actually predictors of sleep quality. We know that living with MS can feel isolating. The takeaway from this study is that whether we happen to be in the midst of a global pandemic or not, and maybe especially when we do find ourselves in some sort of infectious disease outbreak, it's important for people living with MS to find ways to prioritize socialization. And it's incumbent on researchers and clinicians to create interventions that promote social support. That way, everybody gets a better night's sleep. If you'd like to review the details of the study, you'll find a link in today's show notes. On past episodes of Real Talk MS, we've often discussed neurofilament light chain. Neurofilament light chain, or NFL, is a protein that's released into the spinal fluid and blood when nerve wires, called axons, are damaged. Neurofilament light chain levels can be measured by means of a simple blood test, so there's a high level of scientific interest in using neurofilament light chain levels in both the clinic and the laboratory. With a number of studies that have been completed, while others are underway, to better define how neurofilament light chain might be used as a biomarker, an easy-to-measure indicator that could help detect MS, could predict future disease activity, and even measure someone's response to treatment in MS and other neurological disorders. While many of you, I'm sure, have been asked by your neurologist to get blood drawn and labs run, you may very well have walked into one of LabCorp's 2,000 patient service centers to have that lab work done. Well, last week, LabCorp announced the launch of the first widely accessible neurofilament light chain blood test designed to allow doctors to identify and verify signs of neurodegenerative diseases like MS, Alzheimer's, and Parkinson's, as well as brain injury like concussion. Now, measuring NFL in and of itself isn't enough for a diagnosis, but it's a step that can accelerate an MS diagnosis. And a faster diagnosis means better treatment decisions and ultimately a better level of care. And as scientists continue to learn more about interpreting NFL levels and using NFL as a predictive tool, well, the whole paradigm of MS treatment changes for the better. Now, we've been talking about neurofilament light chain on this podcast for the past 2 years. Now that an NFL blood test is widely available to the patient community, we'll continue to keep you updated as this one little change is sure to lead to bigger changes down the road. The prevalence of MS in Canada is among the highest reported in the world. In a country with a population of about 38 million, an estimated 93,500 Canadians are living at home with MS, and an additional 3,800 are living in long-term care facilities. Now, back in episode number 69 of Real Talk MS, this was in December 2018, we talked about a multi-million-dollar research project that the MS Society of Canada had funded called the Canadian Prospective Cohort Study to Understand Progression in MS. And because the name of this study was a considerable mouthful, it became known as CanProCo. And back in 2018, I mentioned that the goal of this far-reaching study was to better understand progression in MS using scientific methods from many different fields, with the ultimate hope of improving the lives of people who are living with MS in Canada. So I was interested in seeing the recently published results of a study where CanProCo researchers examined and quantified the total productivity loss in a sample of 512 employed Canadians who were living with MS. Now, the study looked at lost productivity as a result of absenteeism, that is, time missed from work, presenteeism, now that's time when you're at work, but MS symptoms like fatigue, for instance, are keeping you from being fully productive, and unpaid work loss from unpaid but energy-draining activities, including housework, shopping, or childcare. The study focused on a specific 3-month period of time, and in that time, 55% of the survey participants reported experiencing some type of productivity loss. Over 3 months, the lost hours corresponded to an average cost of $2,480 per participant. That's just a quarterly number. The research team reported that biological sex, comorbidities, that is, other health conditions besides MS, and even the use of disease-modifying medications were not associated with any productivity loss. Fatigue, one of the most common symptoms of MS, was cited as a factor in all 3 measured causes of productivity loss, whether it be absenteeism, presenteeism, or unpaid work loss. The study showed that once economic losses from unpaid work and the overall impact of productivity loss in the workplace are taken into account, the economic burden of living with MS in Canada may be higher than assumed or anticipated. And especially in a country where the prevalence of MS is high, this is the kind of evidence that can help shape future public policy. If you'd like to review the details of this study, you'll find a link in today's show notes. For those of you who are interested in the effects of diet on MS, and I know there are many of you who are, and if you can make it to Iowa City, Iowa for 3 visits over the course of 2 years, Dr. Terry Walls is recruiting participants for a study that will compare the effects of 3 different diets, a modified paleo diet, that is, a diet where gluten, dairy, and eggs will be eliminated, a time-restricted olive oil-based ketogenic diet, and the usual American diet that aligns with the dietary guidelines published by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The study will determine whether any or all of these 3 diets improve quality of life and reduce fatigue among people who are living with MS. The study is also going to measure the impact of these diets on walking function, hand function, vision, serum neurofilament levels in the blood, and brain imaging. Now, besides being willing to follow whichever of the 3 diets a participant might be assigned and getting to the University of Iowa for 3 exams over those 2 years, key requirements to participate in the study include being willing to share your medical records with the study team. Now, participants should not have any clinically significant heart disease, liver disease, kidney disease, or type 1 diabetes, nor should participants have a serious psychiatric disease that would make adopting a study diet more difficult. For example, schizophrenia or disabling depression. Participants should not be taking insulin, Coumadin, or weight loss medications, and participants must have a smartphone or tablet so that you can download a free app that will be used during the study. And you must have access to high-speed internet and a computer, tablet, or smartphone to complete online surveys and participate in video conferences over Zoom. If you're interested in being a part of this study, you'll find a link to an online screening survey in today's show notes. As you've heard me say before, advances in technology accelerate scientific discovery. We're seeing that play out in the way that this diet study is going to be conducted, and further advances in technology have the potential to rewrite the paradigm of scientific discovery, well, almost completely. Artificial intelligence offers the promise of revolutionizing many aspects of our world, and that day may be a lot closer than you think. A company called Neuralite is poised to leverage its proprietary AI platform to accelerate and improve drug development, monitoring, and precision care for people living with MS, ALS, Alzheimer's disease, and Parkinson's disease. In a moment, we'll meet my guest, the co-founder and CEO of Neuralite, Micha Breakstone. Artificial intelligence is poised to revolutionize healthcare, carrying with it the promise to alter and improve everything from clinical trials to clinical practice. Neuralite is an early-stage company whose stated mission is to transform the lives of billions of people impacted by neurological disorders by digitizing evaluation and care. Their AI-driven platform is driven by proprietary deep learning algorithms designed to integrate multiple digital biomarkers to accelerate and improve drug development, monitoring, and precision care for people living with MS, ALS, Alzheimer's disease, and Parkinson's disease. Joining me to give us an exclusive briefing on what Neuralite hopes to accomplish and how they plan on doing it is the co-founder and CEO of Neuralite, Micha Breakstone. Welcome to the podcast, Micha.
John, thanks so much for having me. Real Talk MS is one of the most important podcasts out there for people with MS and neurodegenerative diseases in general. So it's a real honor. And I'd love to tell you about our journey with Neuralite and what we're doing. Where would you like me to start?
Well, revolutionizing neurological research and care is a pretty tall order. Start wherever you like.
Yeah, I think, look, when people ask me what we're doing, I like to say that the core issue with neurology today is that it's much more an art than it is a science, in the sense that we're lacking objective and sensitive endpoints or ways to measure these diseases, the progression of the diseases, the diagnoses of these diseases. So we're 70, 80 years behind most other areas in medicine. There's no real blood tests. MRI is, for some of these diseases like MS, there are some correlations, but it's still a very clinical assessment. So what Neuralite is doing is first and foremost, developing these novel digital biomarkers that are A, objective, and B, sensitive. As we know, for MS, sensitivity is really, really important because of the way the disease progresses. So we're developing these in a platform that we're first offering to pharma companies to help expedite the development of drugs, cures for these diseases, expedite, and not only expedite, actually increase the chances of success for these drugs because of the way they can analyze the results in a much more productive fashion. Specifically for MS, the challenges for MS in measurements are A, because of the way the disease progresses, often very, very slowly. Drug trials take a very long time, right? The EDSS, which is considered the golden standard for MS, could take 2 years to move, say between 4 and 5 on the EDSS scale, or earlier on in the disease, it's even harder. There's very little phenotyping out there. So other than the type maybe of the MS, if it's, RRMS or SPMSS. So they're very hard to actually phenotype patients. And finally, even the measures that we do have are very tenuously correlated with burdensome symptoms, so fatigue and cognitive decline. So our measures are basically completely messed up. And my previous company, I sold my previous company for over $600 million. And the core there was you can't improve what you don't measure. And we were measuring their sales conversations, a little less lofty. Here is you can't develop drugs for diseases that you don't know how to measure. And today, in fact, we just don't know how to measure the progression or these diseases at all. So I hope that kind of gives a brief outline of what we're doing. Happy to dive deeper into anything.
Well, sure. Maybe we can talk about a couple of definitions that are certainly familiar to you, but would probably be helpful to our listeners. What do we mean when we talk about deep learning algorithms?
Sure. So deep learning is a branch of machine learning where you don't necessarily define upfront what the parameters that you're learning from are. You basically throw in a lot of data and hope to get some great results by tag data, where the tag data is, you know, you can tag it, label it by the outcome. So you can throw in a lot of parameters or a lot of data and hope that the results themselves help guide the machine towards a better result. It's really important to note that at Neuralite, we do use machine learning and deep learning, but that's not the only thing we use. We actually understand what we're doing. So we're not just feeding data in blindly and hoping for good results. We use a slew of other techniques, everything from understanding the relations between lesions and where the lesions are, for example, and the way the disease develops, but also an area that is called signal processing. So we use blind deconvolutions and additional types of algorithms that are able to decipher standard video and extract parameters or extract information or data that isn't present in a single frame from standard video. So we basically do magic, if I can say so myself. It's kind of similar to the way satellites, they are able to read your license plate. It's not only because they're great cameras out there. It's because the people that have developed the algorithms there know how light interacts with clouds, what the trajectory of the satellite is. So what we do is we use standard webcams or even a smartphone camera to look at the eye. And then using additional data, such as what the light in the room is, the physiology of the eye. And then we look at a time series of frames. And looking at these time series of frames, we're able to focus in on a single frame and basically extract data that isn't even there. We call it subpixel resolution. Namely, we're seeing information below the level of the pixel, which is what allows us to use standard cameras and get results that are superior to dedicated devices that can cost $20,000, $30,000, all kinds of gaze trackers and eye trackers in professional lab settings. We're able to literally get a higher accuracy using a standard off-the-shelf camera.
So there's a couple of things worth talking about there. I want to repeat something you just said, because to me, this is the key to what makes what Neuralite is doing so revolutionary. Your platform is going to acquire data from someone using a smartphone or a webcam, right?
100%, yes. The idea is to allow people to be able to measure themselves or to be measured on a continuous way, track the progression, let pharma companies run these trials in a distributed manner, and collect this data so that we have, you know, first and foremost, we have a picture of this disease unfolding. Currently, you know, things are sporadic. There's, you know, it's all over the place because it takes years for MS specifically to unfold. We don't have a picture of what's actually happening. And with what we're doing, you know, there's, I think, two key components. One is the ability to actually glean and extract these parameters with a standard off-the-shelf, say, smartphone or webcam, like just what we're doing now, talking over Zoom. That's number one. And two is the smarts, the machine learning, the deep learning that you were referring to earlier, putting together a model of what the signature of MS in the various stages of it looks like in the eye. It's well known that even, you know, bedside ocular assessment has been done by neurologists for years and years and years to assess the progression of MS. Imagine how much better that will be now that we have this technology available on a regular, continuous way.
You mentioned something else that I think is equally revolutionary, or certainly more convenient and user-friendly, because we can gain these measurements, we can derive these digital biomarkers from someone using a smartphone or webcam, this really paves the way for efficient and effective distributed clinical trial design. In other words, people don't have to report to the lab. They can be at home and be full participants and have all of that data evaluated by simple tools that we use every day at home.
Yes, 100%. Look, the grand vision is even larger. We're not there yet, right? But the idea, when we, as we develop our technology, the idea is to do this also entirely passively. So imagine in 2 years from now, you could have an add-on of Neuralite to your Zoom conversation or to your mobile phone so that you're being measured even without a physician, you know, needing to ask you to track a doc for a few minutes over your screen. So we're not there yet, just to clarify, but our vision is to do this entirely passively on any screen that you're using that has a camera attached, in any camera.
And while I know your initial forays into the pharma industry in terms of making these clinical trials more accessible and more efficient, I can't help but see how this could really change the game when it comes to clinical practice for someone to be evaluated by their neurologist simply through a Zoom conversation, if you will, because the camera's on, et cetera. Everything you just said that would apply to clinical trial measure is obviously going to apply to that 6 month or quarterly or annual visit with your neurologist, where all of a sudden they're getting incredible amounts of reliable data without you having to even leave home.
100%. That's completely correct. The path to that, you know, is multi-year. The reason is, you know, you need to pass the various regulatory steps to get there. The reason that we're doing the foray, the reason that we're starting with pharma, is because we're developing we're helping design the trials for pharma companies. So we're able to offer this pre-regulatory approval. Of course, we are submitting our 510Ks and our clinical evidence. We already have some really, really cool results for other diseases, for ALS, for example, showing that we can separate healthy and unhealthy, you know, and also kind of basically put together a proxy of ALS-FRS. We're able to offer this to pharma companies very early on because of the evidence that we have, and, you know, help them design better trials. As we submit more and more data to the FDA, the hope is, and the plan is, to get to a surrogate endpoint and indeed offer this to caregivers, with the ultimate goal is to establish a novel technique for diagnosing, measuring, and treatment of neurodegenerative diseases. So we definitely want to be the new gold standard ultimately, and we believe that eyes are really an extension of the brain, right? And you're able to measure, basically, you're really getting a signature of the disease as it unfolds by monitoring these micro eye movements.
And those are all the reasons I was so excited to talk to you today. I know that when I introduced you, I mentioned that Neuralite was in its early stages. I recall you emerged from stealth mode just toward the end of 2021. So this is all pretty new. I need to ask, what happens next? What are the next steps here?
So yeah, I think we were incorporated mid-2021, early mid-2021, and we're moving very, very quickly. So we're all repeat entrepreneurs, which helps. So we know what we're doing. We've built successful companies in the past, and we were looking to leverage our experience to build something that really makes a true dent in the world and really makes, you know, the world a better place. That's where we're motivated from. We've already secured, I can't disclose yet, but we've already secured a first kind of commercial engagement, and we're measuring real patients. We've measured also over 1,000 different healthy volunteers. So we have this benchmark of how healthy people's eye reaction look like, showing that we've been able to replicate studies in the literature showing that, you know, you can correlate age with eye movements and so on and so forth. And over the next year, we're hoping to solidify the partnerships that we started engaging with, and you know, being able to show these first clinical results that are not only in a lab, but actual real trials with real drugs, and show that we can add real value. At the same time, we're working with some of the top scientists in the world. Our scientific advisory board includes two Nobel laureates, and you know, the head of MS at Mount Sinai, Professor Lublin, who actually invented, you know, redefined the trajectory of the disease, and you know, the Lublin criterion is named after him, as well as other top neurologists. And the goal being to show that, you know, these biomarkers are real, and they're adding huge value both in diagnosis and in progression. Specifically for MS, progression is really, really important. So monitoring. And as we do so, you know, it's kind of a virtuous cycle or circle. The more evidence we bring in, the more we're able to actually help define and develop these new drugs. I think one of the key points is the value that we add is literally going to increase the chances of success for these drugs. Anecdotally, our chief our chief innovation officer, Dr. Rivka Kreitman, was at Teva for over 26 years, and she helped bring to market one of the flagship drugs for MS, Copaxone. And the reason she's so excited and that we were able to basically rail her in from retirement was this deep pain of not being able to measure and not having sensitive measures. So I think over the next few years, what we're going to be doing is collect more and more of this clinical evidence supporting the fact that we are actually a terrific proxy for in MS, it's for EDSS, but actually even superior in that, you know, EDSS takes about 2 years to show a significant change from, say, number four to number five. We'll be able to show this within 3 to 6 months, which is absolutely huge. We'll also be able to correlate this with burdensome symptoms in MS, like MS fatigue and cognitive decline, which is huge. And finally, I hope break down, you know, there's a term that's usually referred to as the radiological paradox, where, you know, we know that lesions are correlated with MS, right? We know that, but there's no real strong correlation between volume of lesions, number of lesions, and the progression. So being able to come in and basically oust MRI, do everything that MRI is doing now, but much, much better. So, you know, today, I think over $600 million are spent by pharma company a year on these MRI biomarkers for MS and Alzheimer's alone. So come in and show that what we're doing with the eyes on a daily or on a weekly basis is able to give a much better, much more accurate picture and help move the entire research of MS drugs forward. So I don't know what happens, you know, it's hard to spell out the exact, you know, trajectory over the next 5 years, but I can tell you 5 years from now, I hope that we're the new gold standard, or 6 years from now, we're the new gold standard, and we're helping to increase the approval rate of drugs from about 6% today to where non-CNS drugs are around 13%, and hopefully also usher in this new era for precision medicine for MS, tailoring to specific, you know, phenotypes of patients, and hopefully even bringing in a real disease-modifying cures into play.
Well, Micha Breakstone, we will be anxiously waiting and watching, and I hope you'll come back to update us as Neuralite moves its work forward.
It would be an honor, John. I really look forward to that. And thank you for creating this amazing, amazing podcast. Really, really appreciate it. Amazing stuff you've been doing to help move the community forward. And I hope together we're you know, each on our own side are able to really change the lives of people. That's why we're here.
Well, thank you for those very kind words, and thanks for talking with me today.
For sure.
That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Talk MS. Real Talk MS is powered by the National MS Society, and you can share this episode of the podcast by letting your friends or family members know that all they have to do is point their web browser at realtalkms.com/256. You'll find that link in today's show notes, so you can easily copy and paste it right into an email or text. And if you have a minute, I hope you'll visit the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store and download the free RealTalk MS app for your iOS or Android smartphone or tablet. It's the best way for us to stay connected. The app will automatically download the latest episode of RealTalk MS. You'll be able to access any of our past episodes. You'll be able to save your favorite episodes. And it's a great way for me to share bonus content with you. The app is free, so I hope you'll download it today. I'm John Strum. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and make healthy choices.